VOCM.
Welcome back to the program. Don't know what happened earlier when we were trying to connect with NLTA President Dean Ingram, but he's back on line number one. Dean, you're on the air.
Good morning, Patty.
Good morning to you. Welcome to the show. I saw a news release coming from the NLTA while we're considering whether or not the province of schools will be closed. And, you know, references to, people are going to need childcare and whatnot, kind of treating schools like a matter of convenience versus a place to be educated.
Yeah, and that certainly I want to stress this, that the primary function of schools, all schools, is to educate children, cover curriculum, and certainly prepare them for the futures. That has been the primary responsibility. Of course, as we spoke about on a number of different times over the past couple of years, that school safety is a critical importance. And right now, I think the focus has to be on certainly health safety, that dynamic. And we've got some serious questions, but certainly any decision about what to do at our schools, first and foremost, has to be about what's in the best interest of children and educators and those in our school system on that range. Any other decisions? These are things that government would need to think, because we certainly recognize there will be implications you alluded to in your preamble. But the decision about what to do our schools has to be first and foremost a decision about health and safety. Measures that may need to be taken after that decision is made, those are different discussions.
Yeah, they absolutely are. You know, I don't know if... It's one thing for public pressure to be brought forward. It's another thing to listen to healthcare professionals. If we are going to restrict gatherings of 250 people, how does that not include a school? Like, if we're going to shut down the extracurricular activities of a team of 14 students and one coach, how does that not include shutting down a classroom that has 20-plus students, a gymnasium or cafeteria that may have hundreds of students? I just don't know how the contradictory nature of that jibes.
Well, over the past this weekend, I was certainly inundated, and I'm not using that word lightly, with calls and emails from our members, but certainly also from parents. And yes, I even had a conversation with some students. They have legitimate concerns. Certainly, I certainly agree with Mr. Hagee that this has to be a healthcare decision made through expertise of healthcare workers. And I would be the first one to admit that I am not an epidemiologist. I'm certainly not an infectious disease specialist, but in making that calculation, I think there's certainly some strong recommendations that the chief medical officer has brought forward. Social distancing, the hygiene measures, all those are critically important. However, the question that has to be answered, and I think we have to get this explained, is that how do we implement those measures in our school system? I was at the gym yesterday, and at these gyms, they made a point of actually shutting down some of their cardio equipment to ensure that there is that 6 feet spacing. My question is, how do you ensure that spacing in our school system? How do you do that? I don't think it's possible myself, but how can that be done? We have concerns about large gatherings of students on the school buses. These are legitimate concerns. When you're talking about maintaining hygiene procedures, all these hand wash procedures, is that in our schools, a school of 200, with recess breaks, lunch breaks, before class start, at the end of the day, with limited facilities, how are they able to implement those procedures? And my thoughts is that if you can't implement those procedures as outlined, as recommended, I think there has to be a serious question about whether or not our schools should remain open if they are not positioned to implement the measures that the chief medical officer has recommended and has needed to ensure that this epidemic, this pandemic, is, to quote other medical professionals, the curve is flattened. That's a critically important piece.
There's, you know, the guiding principle should be the comments coming from the Dr. Michael Ryans of the world, the Theresa Tams of the world, other public health agencies who have pointed out as to what went wrong in different jurisdictions where they are seeing widespread community spread. They're seeing devastation of their healthcare system, even modern day countries like Italy. Now, we share some similarities that people should also consider when you think whether or not a drastic measure like closing a school is apropos. They have the oldest population in Europe. We have the oldest population in Canada. They have some issues regarding their own health based on diet and sedentary behavior, what have you. Well, what do you know? So do we. So there's some things out there, and young children may indeed not be susceptible to very dangerous outcomes, but when they bring it home, there's others around them who might be. We don't even know a whole lot about long-term implications for irreparable lung damage. We don't know about potential for neurological damage. So if and when the unknowns are as potentially dire as they are, we we should err on the side of decisive action just based on public protection. This is going to be an economic problem. The federal government has the capacity. It's going to be a matter of inconvenience, but we all have to look at the big picture about how we get through this as best we can to reduce the number of people who become affected, the reduced number of people who are elderly with underlying medical conditions, and some of that may indeed be spread through the community in the province of schools. This is not about fear. This is about listening to the healthcare professionals.
Without question, and I would add that right now, every other jurisdiction in Atlantic Canada, Prince Edward Island, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, has taken measures to actually close the schools down to ensure that community transmission is mitigated. And I recognize the expertise of healthcare professionals, but it has to be considered that are our schools positioned to implement the measures that she suggested are needed? And I just want to end on this comment that we will never know if there's been an overreaction. But we will absolutely know and pay the price if there's an underreaction.
I think so too. And we can all do it while remaining calm and understanding why decisions were made and to how that can be in our best protection, our best collective interest. Dean, I appreciate your time. I look forward to an announcement coming from the NLESD at some point today.
Thank you very much, Patty. Have a great day.
Same to you. Bye-bye. That's Dean Ingram. He's the president of the Newfoundland Labrador Teachers Association. Okay, for those of you who are in the queue, we appreciate your patience. We're going to take